Team Time.
Hi, welcome to Team Time. I'm your host, Debbie Waith, and I'm here to share with you a series of podcasts aimed at supporting those leading and in teams. I'm going to share my personal story as a woman who has led many teams in large organisations and in several countries. I've also been coaching leaders and teams for over 10 years, and I'll draw on this experience to support your journey as a leader and all the other hats that you might wear. So this week, I want to talk about control and our relationship with control, and in particular, how it shows up in times of uncertainty. For me, this seems quite a pertinent topic this week. It's been the week where the government have announced that the schools are unlikely to go back before September, and so some kids might be off for more than 6 months. And also there's been more organisations that have been announcing redundancies. And so it strikes me that there have been layers of change at multiple levels that we are each trying to process every day. There's things happening at a societal level. This has been the last 2 weeks where, following the death of George Floyd, there's been protests in many cities around the world supporting the movement of Black Lives Matter. And I'm going to cover that in a separate podcast in terms of my views and, you know, sitting from a privileged position. I do want to make sure that we step into that conversation, however complex it may be. So it's not a side comment in this conversation. It deserves more than that. But it's a week where things have been happening at such structural levels. Societal, the pandemic crisis, organisations starting to talk about doing restructures, and of course, whatever happens to be happening in your own personal life. I mentioned to you last week that the strapline that I use with my kids has been one of being hopeful and helpful. And I ascribe to that, but I don't give the illusion that keeping that is easy. This week it's felt hard to hold on to hopeful when it feels as though things around are continually shifting. And how do we navigate our way within continually shifting? And what it really brought up for me was how we use and how I use control as a way to manage anxiety around uncertainty. And it got me thinking, what do we mean by control? And I think for me, there's something about structure, predictability. Control obviously can come through hierarchy or authority, but it's our ability to manage, if you like, or break down into manageable chunks, things that are quite frankly out with our control, but breaking them into smaller chunks gives us at least the perception of some degree of control. And that for me plays a really important role in managing my response or my anxiety to change. I talked previously about my belief that we have individually a patterned response to change, and how that was formed back in our sort of very formative years. And I have noticed over the years that when organisations I've worked for have gone through transformations or reorganisations or whatever grandiose word we use to say there's going to be big change coming, that I do go through a bit of a cycle in terms of how I make sense of what's coming and what role I can play, and possibly even what opportunities might lie ahead. It's only in the last few years that I've become more aware of the work in and around neuroscience and what we've learned from the neuroscientists that have been mapping the brain activity to understand what happens, you know, in between our neurons, how they fire, how they work under different conditions. And one of the things that was discovered was that the brain and therefore the body responds in the same way, irrespective of whether the threat is physical, emotional, or social. We have the same response where the amygdala, so the part of the brain that's sort of evolutionary designed to protect us, fires up and puts us into a state of being ready to respond. And one of the first things that happens when that amygdala fires up is it takes off the prefrontal cortex, which in essence is the thinking part. And so there's certainly for a time, a period where I can recognise, you know, I'm no longer in the ability to process or sometimes even hear what you're saying anymore. I just need to, and for me, it's to kind of go away and find some space to try and make sense of what's happening, what's the likely changes ahead and how they might impact me. I did an 8-week meditation course in the last couple of months with a fantastic teacher, Michael Chaskalson, who I'd highly recommend if anyone's interested in mindfulness. And he has practiced it for over 40 years. And I've always been a bit sceptical, if I'm really honest, about mindfulness or meditation, and probably never really thought of myself as someone that could settle in one place for, you know, 15, 20 plus minutes with what I thought was just stop thinking. And of course, as I learned more about mindfulness and mindful meditations, Michael had this very useful line for me that I could release myself of any sense of feeling that I had to enjoy or indeed do or be anything in particular during this period. What mindfulness was offering was the ability to notice and pause long enough to notice. And one of the things that I learned from Michael through that course was that, which links back again to the neuroscience, is that biologically speaking, physiologically speaking, we cannot be curious and anxious at the same time. And for me, that's a real eye-opener because I can position myself to be curious and to try and understand why, what might be prompting these changes, how might these changes impact or affect myself or my loved ones or my organisation. And it reframes how I approach things. So whilst I recognise this week I've lower energy levels, where I described last week that it felt like climbing mountains and then falling into valleys, I think some of what I read through announcements and concern for others certainly took me down into one of those valleys. And I'm hearing through my client work increased levels of exhaustion, lethargy, feelings of being overwhelmed and fearful of the extended duration. Whilst we might have known that this, you know, this was never going to be, or certainly in the last few weeks, we've realised this is a longer term thing. I think people had hoped for more of a change, more of a getting back to what was normality. And when we kind of come face to face with that isn't happening, then I think there is something that acknowledges in some ways it's an ending to those hopes. And it's the start of, so what's the next set of hopes through this period? And the first thing for me is just to honour those feelings before I get into trying to make sense of them and you know, translate them into thoughts. There's something that just says, actually, it's okay just to, you know, say, oh, that was a difficult week. I had hopes that things would be different and they haven't turned out to be that way. And I don't think it's you know, it's not wallowing. It's not, you know, more clinical. It's just saying, God, that was a tough week. And here's what I know I need to do to pick myself up. But one of them is just acknowledging that emotional response and letting it be. I've found some of the work that I've been reading of Eckhart Tolle to be really helpful in this period. And I'm only at the beginning of starting to read his work, and the book that I'm going to start on is The Power of Now. But the essence of some of what I've been listening to is talking to our attachment to what our mind or our thoughts are about how something should be, whether that's what it should have been in the past. I wish I'd done that differently. God, I wish I hadn't done it that way. Or I wish he or she hadn't done that. Or the very common focus on the future. If only that will happen, then everything will be okay. And what we're doing is giving up our ability to just notice and value what's happening right now. Not trying to change it, not trying to manipulate it, but just to allow it to be. My 8-year-old asked myself on a walk this week, would you rather go back in time to relive a moment you've already lived, or forward to a moment yet to be lived? And I was really struck by this question. I didn't have an instant answer. I had to ask him, could I think about it and get back to him? But the question made me think, gosh, one of those options wasn't, or would you be exactly where you are now, even with the circumstances that are around us? And so it's really got me thinking about how to appreciate more the moment that we're in, and to loosen any attachment to the way things you might want, or I might have wanted things to be. And for me, this shows up quite often in the work that I do with leaders, who often are existing in some kind of forward or future state of what they hope will happen, and not necessarily spending much time in there, but what's actually happening right now. And I think our ability to just recognise our influence and control is in the current moment, not in what's to come and not in what has been already, but in this moment. So what can you change or do differently or appreciate in this moment? When I start to think like that, then actually those feelings of exhaustion and lethargy are replaced by hope. And if you remember from the earlier point, that was part of my process. I had to let go of the hopes that I'd formed in my head of what might be, and had to allow there to be the possibility of hope for this moment. And I'm not going to lie, there's hopes for the future that got reshaped, but just being hopeful in this moment and appreciating this moment. So it got me thinking of an exercise I've used with teams to help consider both from a systemic perspective and also to allow people to think together rather than in isolation. The tool is Stephen Covey's Circles of Influence, and it's where you start with the smallest circle in the middle, which is about the things that are within your control. And then you start to draw a bigger circle outside that, and that's the things that you can influence, and then a final, even bigger circle, what isn't within either my control or my influence. And I started to think, you know, what of my fears or concerns fell in each of those three circles? You know, what was within my ability to control? And obviously, there is in part how I spend my time, and that of course is somewhat related to how I divvy up work and homeschooling and, you know, trying to do neither of those two so that you can relax. There's things around, given we're in a pandemic, from a health perspective, what we do to mitigate exposure. There are things that I can do, the practices I can do regarding my own health and well-being, and I've mentioned mindfulness. I've mentioned previously journaling, and one of the most important for me is kind of that quality connection with people that are able to help me articulate my thinking. I am an extrovert, and so I think as I talk, and so I should be grateful for this, because this in many ways is my therapy. But I do find it helpful to be able to talk things through with people, which is often a common experience of extroverts. But I do also have those tendencies where I need time on my own to process my thinking. And it leads me to another kind of big part of my response to change and how control shows up is my ability to make sense of what's happening. And so that shows up in my patterned response, if you like, after that sort of initial emotional response, which often kind of crowds out any thinking and, you know, just leaves you feeling probably a bit overwhelmed, a bit overloaded. And then as I kind of come down and out of that, then there is a process for me that I need to go through that as an extrovert, it often is through talking, but it's also through reading and I guess an attitude towards learning that tries to make sense of, so what is happening and how do I contextualize this within the wider system that I live and work in. I think we often get too focused in on what's immediately around us and we forget to root it within the wider systems that we live and work in. And for me, it's really helpful to contextualize it both historically, you know, so what's come before this that helps us make sense of this. So for the situation that I mentioned, as I was becoming accustomed to the expectation for schools, for certainly one of my sons, there was a reminder of, well, we've already done this for 3 months, so this isn't untested, if you like. We have done it and we can do it. And I think I've realised I need to carry the hope. I need to believe that actually, from the perspective of his school career, this will have been a very unusual period, but it won't define his school career. And we have to find the possibility within this. It reminds me that in times of uncertainty, the power of hope, and that we all need something that we can look beyond and for. We all need to have some kind of meaning and make some kind of sense. And for me, it's anchored in hope. For those in organisations facing perhaps some difficult choices ahead, that hope is usually in the form of what does our future look like? What could it look like? And really pay attention to trying to let people be part of creating the future and know that it's important that we have hope for the future. The circles of influence exercise I mentioned earlier can be a really useful exercise to use with your team to try and understand where you are now. What's within your control as a team? What's within your influence as a team? And what's neither within your control nor influence? And try to root these as much as possible within your wider system. When I've done this exercise with teams, going into it, people expect there to be a lot on that final outer circle, and they're usually quite surprised by what actually lies within either their control or their own influence. And in many ways, dealing with change is about understanding where you do have choice and agency. Recognizing we will have an emotional response, you know, a neurological response to change. Which may at an organisational level show up as resistance and often, you know, people find dealing with resistance very hard. But I would encourage you to approach it with that same curiosity that I talked about earlier, to try and understand what's behind that. Because often it's a loss of or a perceived loss of control, or it's a protection of something really important. Well, do we pause and understand what is it that's trying to be protected because it's so important? So I'd encourage you to tune in to yourself as your system and try to understand your own pattern of response when you feel whether it's out of control or overwhelmed by uncertainty. And I'd encourage you to think about it in relation to what's your emotional response. How do you typically respond when things are out with what you believe to be your control or whether they feel uncertain. What's your behavioral response? How typically does your behavior change? Does it change? For some, I've seen that they can perhaps lose their ability to look outward, and often it is pulled quite tightly inward to try and understand and navigate. For others, it might be holding a little more tightly decisions, budgets, judgments of others. And finally, thinking. What happens to your thinking and your ability to make sense when you are feeling out of control or with less control that you would like than you would like, or in circumstances that feel very uncertain to you? As you consider your own pattern of control, I'd like to ask you these questions to close our time today. What are either your tried and tested or perhaps newly discovered techniques that help you with your emotional response to uncertainty? And how do you sense make what's going on around you? What is it that you're attached to that gives you a sense of control? And what might be the consequences or impact of this attachment to yourself, to your home team, that is those people that are around you in this new way of working largely from home, and your work team? And finally, what is it in this moment that you can appreciate and be thankful for? I'll leave you to ponder these questions and wish you a hopeful and helpful week ahead. Goodbye. If you want to share your thoughts on this episode or ask many questions, please get in touch on Instagram or Twitter, where you can find me under debbie.waith. I'll be posting a podcast every Tuesday, and I hope you'll subscribe to Team Time to join us each week. For now, thanks for listening, and I wish you a hopeful and helpful week ahead. Goodbye.
Subscribe to Team Time.